GPB belongs to Georgia, and you are the center of everything we do. Become a GPB sustainer today or increase your monthly gift to fortify our work, enriching Georgians of all ages. Visit gpb.org to donate today. And thanks.
Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here, we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, an Atlanta Hawks executive is sentenced for embezzlement. A man accuses the Fulton County Jail of severe neglect, and the rising cost of power takes central stage at the Public Service Commission debate.
I will not vote personally for a rate change.
Today is Thursday, April 30th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. A man says he was traumatized by severe medical neglect at a problem-plagued jail in Atlanta. The attorneys for Rashad Muhammad say he was arrested in August and taken to the Fulton County Jail, where medical staff failed to provide antibiotics he needed. Less than 2 weeks later, his condition deteriorated, leading to the amputations of his fingers and lower legs. Civil rights attorney Ben Crump, who represents Muhammad, says the treatment was, quote, deliberate indifference. A Fulton County spokesperson declined to comment. The Fulton County Jail has a history of issues, prompting a U.S. Department of Justice investigation. Nebraska-based Union Pacific submitted a new application today detailing its plan to buy Atlanta-based Norfolk Southern. The U.S. Surface Transportation Board would have to approve the $85 billion merger of two railroad giants. GPB's Chase McGee has more on the deal's potential impact.
The board rejected Union Pacific's first application because regulators wanted more details about how the merger would affect competition and customers. Company officials say their new application makes an even stronger case for the benefits of the merger. They say it will result in faster delivery times and less need for trucking, resulting in customer savings. But a coalition of trade groups, competitors, unions, and others say the merger will only increase prices because they would have fewer choices among a handful of major railroads in the U.S. For GPB News, I'm Chase McGee.
Candidates vying for a seat on the five-member elected panel that controls how much Georgia residents pay for electricity all are promising to address the rising cost of power. GPB's Grant Blankenship reports on the debate this week among Republican and Democratic candidates for the Georgia Public Service Commission.
Republican Bobby Meehan was the most explicit.
I will not vote personally for a rate change.
But in separate partisan debates, almost all candidates for the Public Service Commission District 5 seat at least mentioned affordability as their goal. Republican Carolyn Roddy.
They need to consider clawing back that $16 billion.
And Democrat Angela Pressley.
And if that $16 billion is pushed through, we will be cooked.
Criticized the PSC decision to allow Georgia Power's $16 billion expansion meant to power data centers, saying it endangers finances for everyday people. And Democrat Carl Cubitt pointed out that this election will decide which party will have the majority control of the PSC. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship.
To watch any of the 18 primary election debates presented by the Atlanta Press Club and GPB this week, go to gpb.org/debates. In news related to the PSC, Georgia Power's parent company is reporting a rise in profits. Southern Company today released its first quarter profits, saying its sales growth was led by electricity sales, including a 42% rise in sales to data centers. Its quarterly earnings, including from utilities in other states, were $1.4 billion, up from $1.3 billion in the first quarter of 2025. Former Atlanta Hawks finance executive Lester T. Jones, Jr. has been sentenced to 3 years and 5 months in prison for embezzling more than $3.5 million from the team. Federal prosecutors say Jones misused corporate credit cards and put in fraudulent expense reimbursement requests to pay for travel, luxury apparel, jewelry, car expenses, and tickets to events. Jones pleaded guilty to wire fraud in December. He worked in the Hawks' accounting and finance department for nearly a decade. A studio equipment rental company is closing its Atlanta operations amid a nationwide slowdown in demand for film and TV productions. Hudson Pacific Properties says its subsidiary, rental company Quixote, would move its assets to hubs in New York and Los Angeles to save the company at least $21 million a year. It eliminated about 70 jobs between Atlanta and Los Angeles. The Wall Street Journal cites U.S. Labor Department figures showing 30% drop in film and TV-related employment since 2022. The Museum of Design Atlanta is inviting the public to take a fresh look at the city through a series of guided tours. The free tours are part of Jane's Walk, an international event honoring urbanist writer Jane Jacobs by exploring the places we live, work, and gather. GPB's Amanda Andrews visited the museum and spoke to the local guides about their unique perspective on the city.
Downtown Atlanta is one of the oldest parts of the city. It's filled with lots of historic parks, architecture, and signage. There's even tours focused on those signs and letter forms called type walks. It's how graphic designer Sue Youngblood first got the idea she could host a tour.
Well, I had gone on a type walk here in Atlanta that a guy from New York gave, and I thought, why is a New Yorker doing the type walk about my town?
Now, Youngblood has been hosting her own type walks for 12 years in downtown Atlanta and historic Sweet Auburn. Her walks include a stop at the Martin Luther King Jr. National Historic Park to look at the quotes carved into the ground. Youngblood says the flowing script mimics a wedding invitation on purpose.
He's inviting you to choose nonviolence. But also, if you look at his lecture notes and when he was writing his speeches, they're in a cursive. So it's sort of like his handwriting there.
Atlanta has hundreds of plaques, historic buildings, and ongoing preservation projects people pass every day. Youngblood says walking tours encourage people to pay attention.
And it sort of opens their eyes like, wow, I can't believe I've walked by that 50 times and never seen it. So I try to open eyes.
That's why Youngblood volunteered to be a local guide for Jane's Walk. Just like Jane Jacobs, who the walks are named after, Youngblood has never been formally trained in city planning. Most of the tour guides aren't. MoDA executive director Laura Flushi says instead, the museum wanted tour guides with deep connections to the city.
We put out a call for tour leaders, and people step forward and say, I want to tell people about the bees in South Atlanta or South Downtown, or I want to explore how poetry intersects with the Beltline. So it's people who have passion for our city and want to share it with others.
Tour leaders come from a variety of backgrounds, from engineering to literature to graphic design. Each walk will look at how Atlanta is built and the ways people interact with those designs. Every building, every sidewalk, and every mural is a design choice. Now, some people aren't inspired by architecture the way others are inspired by nature. But Vanderbilt University professor Robert Barsky will lead his Jane's Walk group to the Beltline to change that.
The Beltline brings you into the neighborhoods in the way that a hiking path brings you into the mountains. And from there you truly see, especially because it's 22 miles long, you get to see a city.
Barsky sees the Beltline through the eyes of a poet. He wrote a 68-page epic poem called The Beltline Chronicles. It follows a man on a quest around the entire 22-mile trail. Where some people see a sidewalk, Barsky sees the Beltline as a call to adventure.
There is very little in the way of rules on the Beltline. You're just meandering, maybe you're sitting, maybe you're doing yoga, maybe you're bicycling, maybe you're selling cats. You enter into a space of creativity. It reminds me a little bit of the medieval public square.
Jane's Walk encourages people to think about the meaning behind public spaces. Barsky says without wonder and community, even the Champs-Élysées in Paris is just another avenue.
In a way, that's a beautiful way to live your life, where you take the walk that you do with your dog in the morning and you turn it into a quest. Because for your dog, I think it's a quest, actually. It's a different way of living.
The Museum of Design Atlanta will offer 16 free guided tours Friday through Sunday. For GPB News, I'm Amanda Andrews.
You know, every day on Up First, NPR's Golden Globe-nominated morning news podcast, we bring you three essential stories. At the heart of each story are questions. What really happened? What really mattered? What happens next? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious and to follow the facts. Follow Up First wherever you get your podcasts and start your day knowing what matters and why.
By his own admission, Braves rookie pitcher J.R. Richey says he didn't have the best command during last night's game against the Detroit Tigers. He issued walks, several batters ran up his pitch count, and the one unearned run the Tigers scored came when Richey threw a wild pickoff throw to first base. After he was pulled from the game after 5 1/3 innings, with his team behind 3-2 and himself in line to take the loss, he watched the game from the training room. And that's where he saw teammate Matt Olson in the bottom of the 9th launch a 2-run homer to walk off the Tigers.
I didn't really know what to do with myself because there was a good 3 minutes where, you know, the team's celebrating outside and I was running around high-fiving everybody. My hand hurt. That was great. I owe Matt dinner after that one.
Braves manager Walt Weiss says the plan for now is to keep Richie in the rotation, which means he may start next week against the Mariners in Seattle, his hometown.
Seattle has a very special place in my heart. It always will, just being from there. So really looking forward to it.
The Braves lost to the Tigers this afternoon, 5-2. The Braves now hit the road for games against Colorado, Seattle, and Los Angeles before returning home to face the Chicago Cubs on May 12th. And that's all we've got for Georgia Today. Thanks very much for tuning in. Hope you'll come back tomorrow. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast and check gpb.org/news for updates, as well as details on all those debates we've been telling you about. If you've got feedback, we'd love to hear from you. Whether you've got a story idea or a suggestion on how to make this podcast better, send your note to us by email. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you again for listening. We will see you tomorrow.